This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. It's Thursday, 23rd of September, 2021. My name's Patrick Smith, and this is the beginning of 30 weeks of Belfast Giants hockey podcasting. It starts right here. The longest of off-seasons, 18 months worth, is finally coming to a conclusion as the Belfast Giants travel this weekend to face the Dundee Stars and the Fife Flyers in Challenge Cup action. It's a new look team, a new look logo, a new sponsor for the league, a new TV deal, and this new season is right on top of us. Only a few days to go, so let's get cracking. Mr. McGimsey, how are you? Can you tell that I'm excited?
I can tell you're excited, Paddy. It's whenever you start to put numbers and statistics into it there, it really starts to hit home that it's actually happening. It seems like a long, long time ago since our last game of the whatever it was against Fife as well, and so happens that, you know, we're starting up with them again. So it's the player that scored the winning goal that night is on the roster again this season, David Goodwin. So all little good omens for the stat guys like those.
That's it. Mr. Kitchen, a busy man, how are you?
I'm okay, mate. I've already started. I've been lucky enough to watch the boys for the last 2 weeks. It's definitely starting to hit home now with, as you say, only a couple of days left before facing off against Dundee and Fife at the weekend, and then the first home opener on the 1st of October. So, yeah, really looking forward to it, and it's been far too long. So let's get ready to rock.
That's it. We've got an action-packed show this week for you with a hell of a lot of guests. So let's get cracking. We'll start in with the roster. The roster as it looks is now complete, obviously, and let's have a look at it. It's since we last chatted, we've added to the team Griffin Reinhardt, the a well-experienced NHL player, defenseman, 27-year-old from West Vancouver in British Columbia. We've also had JJ Pickenich, who's a 25-year-old right winger from New Jersey. Jordan Boucher. Are we going to go with that? Or are we going to go Boucher? Boucher, Jordan Boucher Road? No? Nobody? Just left out of hanging there. Thanks, boys. Boucher. Jordan Boucher, the a 27-year-old from left winger from Montreal. And Mark Cooper, a right winger, 29-year-old from Toronto, Ontario. As you can see, the Belfast Giants roster is up and running. And start with you, Sis. What about these the latest additions in the roster as a whole? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, again, I touched on it at the start of the show. I've been lucky enough to watch the way the boys have been practicing the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Adam, Steve, and Jeff Mason, and Rob Stewart have definitely put together a good bunch of guys here. And I know it's a cliche that they all say, but, you know, I was lucky enough to spend a bit of time with them last Friday. All really looking forward to the season. They've come in good shape, which makes it a lot easier for Adam to put practices together and make sure everybody's on the right page and everybody's really trying to impress, which is important as well. So it's been, since they started training there last Monday at the arena itself, they spent a week in Dundonald, first of all, but then when they start training at the arena, it's just become real again. It's, you know, when you haven't been in the place for going on 18 months, and then you go back in, and it looks like nothing's changed, but there's been a hell of a lot of changes. You know, you've got to take into consideration now. It's going to be, you know, numbers are going to be shorter a little bit until maybe the restrictions are lifted. And but to be honest, even if there's only 1,000 people in there for our first game, which I know is not going to be the case, it's going to be loud. It's going to be really, really loud. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to. But there's a lot of guys there who, you can see there's a couple of guys returning. And we've talked about Besko. We've talked about Darcy. Ben Lake is absolutely flying. Kieran Long's in good shape. Lewis Hook's in great shape. And as I say, some of the new boys that are coming in as well. And we're going to get the chance to speak to one of them later on, who I am really excited to see in a Belfast Giants uniform. He's going to score some goals this season.
Davey, one of the names that I've read out there and one of those that raised a few eyebrows right across the league is Griffin Reinhardt, who comes in with a hell of a pedigree. Number four draft pick in the NHL.
Yeah, you leave the stats to me, mate.
Sorry, buddy.
You burst my first line there. Obviously, when someone of that caliber, a fourth overall draft pick comes in, it perks you up and you go looking a wee bit about him. Obviously, we're 300 games in the AHL. decent career. I like guys that transition via somewhere else to Belfast, so they have, so he's had a year in the DEL, obviously on the slightly wider ice surface. I'm sure, like, so we'll very quickly, in case there's new people hopefully coming on board with ABFTB, especially as generally in America they play on a 200 foot ice surface, but it's 85 feet wide. Most of the rinks, apart from perhaps Coventry and Manchester, will be 100 feet wide, so it's an extra 15 feet. Says I'll be able to explain more about what that actually does whenever you're playing the game, but it's a slightly bigger ice surface, and that takes a little bit of getting used to. Some of the boys that are coming direct from college won't have played on the 100-foot ice before, the 100-foot width. They'll have played the length of it before, but it makes a big difference to the game. So that those guys, the likes of Griffin Reinhardt, that has played a year in Germany, I think that's massive for him. He'll come here, and he already says he's watched them in training. We've been chatting about him. The guy will do exactly what it says on tin. Maybe a slightly less offensive Jim Vandermeer type player, would it be fair to say, Simon?
Yeah.
I mean, the other one that has pricked my attention would be Tyler Soy. You know, 323 games in the WHL, I think 327 points. I think he leads in appearances and goals for that franchise. So he comes in with a lot of credibility in what he's done in his career already, picking it outstanding. You know, and I was lucky. I was down with Simon the other day at the arena, met a couple of guys. These are big guys. These are big human beings, as Neil, the coach Russell would say, you know, giants of a sort. I know I put a little tweet out there a couple of weeks ago about it's the youngest team under Adam Keefe, it's the leanest team under Adam Keefe, and it's the biggest team under Adam Keefe. So three statistics there. We're getting younger, we're getting bigger, we're getting leaner. So that all bodes well going into this season.
So what did you say? Davey's had his players that he's picked out there. You did mention a few of the guys that are coming back, but what about some of the new guys? Anybody really caught your eye?
Yeah, I picked the guy up at the airport, and he's seen Davey standing at the back door waiting on him, and he got out and asked for his autograph. And Davey, you know, being the guy that he is, you know, obliged. And it was very funny. I seen when we were coming in through the barrier, I said, for God's sake, here's one of these mad fans. He's standing in the arena all day long. And he says, what this guy here? And I says, he's been standing there all day waiting for the guys to come out to get autographs and stuff. I said, just go over and ask him. Like, he says, oh, no problem. It's calm night. So when he got out and he went over to Davey says, you stitch me up, bro. You stitch me up.
And then I had to go and carry his bags and his sticks in for him. Like a proper super fan, you know. But I thought when he said, do you want me to sign that? I was, yeah, I'll sign for you, mate. No problem.
But you touched on some of the guys coming back, Paddy, and again, you know, there's Davey's touched on a couple of them there. You know, Scott Conway's looking really, really good. He's been playing with, I don't want to give the lines away to, you know, for Pash or Dundee watching at the weekend, you know, and because I know Pash listens to our podcast every week.
Always.
So, you know, there's guys out there who just seem to have clicked really, really quickly, which is great. And you know, you've got the likes of, you touched on it there, you know, you've Scott Conway's come in, he's in great shape, he knows who the net is. Darcy Murphy, again, you know what you're going to get from Darcy Murphy. Doggett's a real good player. Goodwin, I think Goodwin could be very, very important for this year. But one of the guys that's really stood out for me is Mark Cooper. He's a big boy. He's gonna look familiar to a lot of guys. They might think he might look like a film character, so I'm not mentioning any names just yet. But you can let me know who you think he looks like in the next after the next podcast or when we get that done next week. But and he's been called this person before, so it's not something new that we've brought up. It was Taff and James Glover that come up with it, and it's an absolute double. It's brilliant.
Who were we talking about?
I'm not telling you.
All right, just to look at all the players.
Well, you've got to look at them and see which one it talks about. So it's. Yeah, he's a double. Actually, I did tell you, for goodness sake, I said it was Mark Cooper, but you've got to tell me who he looks like. It's brilliant. When you see him, you'll just...
He's good with
him, man. There's what?
I'm going to have a wee look here.
Honestly, it's a corker. Like, so, but you look at the boys coming back. You know, Gary's in great shape. Gary's busting to go. I'm really impressed with Lewis Hook. Hookie's bulked up a bit, and he's ready to rock as well. And then you've got Besko and Jackson Whistle and Dicko. Dicko's looking great as well. You know, Dicko wants to play. So, you know, you've got all these guys that are coming in. You've got the two oldest players in the team now, the two-time rookie and the man from Ballymoney. So, you know, it's they're the two oldest guys we have on our roster now as well, which, you know, bucket load of experience from Gary. We talked about it in the interview that we did yesterday with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to have to start using that experience a lot more this year because, as I say, he's one of the oldest guys in the locker room, and he's going to be called upon, believe you me.
It's no doubt it's an exciting roster, and as we maybe next week as well, when we're heading towards that first game at home, we'll look more closely at that. We're going to move on here, gents, because obviously last night at the SSE Arena was a big night, not just in regards to the start of the season and getting everybody into the arena, but a new branding for the Belfast Giants. It's the first new look they had in 20 years. The familiarity of the old logo is no longer on the shirts, and we've got one that looks a little bit familiar but with a few tweaks to it. Now, before we hear the thoughts of Davey and Sizz, I had a chance to catch up, well, me and Joel had a chance to catch up with Head of Hockey Operations Steve Thornton and the Head of Marketing Sinead Doyle to find out just how this came about and what it means to the Belfast Giants. So, Sinead, a fantastic event at the SSE Arena and something that the Belfast Giants, do you think this was a little bit overdue?
That's a really tough question. I think that, you know, the pandemic gave everyone an opportunity, I think, to reflect and revisit, you know, the direction of travel. And I suppose when you think about 21 years, it's natural to think of a coming of age and to think of, you know, this being the right time. I think when we did the work and did the research behind this, we looked at it and we thought that it was kind of now or never, you know, that it seemed like an opportune time, that it was a rebirth of sorts coming back from being off the ice for 18 months. And that's a big comeback. And, you know, to us last night and the next couple of weeks are more than just about a logo. It's about the return of hockey to Belfast and the rebirth of the Belfast Giants and what that means to every single fan that has followed and loved this team for so long. So in short, I suppose we felt the time was right, and yeah. I'm not sure you could do it at another time, really.
I think, Steve, I think that's a really good point, is the fact that with the large break, the opportunity to have this sort of this rebirth, this rebrand, this new look, this fresh look, how important to it is it to you as the head of hockey operations?
Well, we're very excited about it. You know, it's you get caught in these cycles in the hockey world where you're focused on the season, and then all of a sudden the season comes to an end, and it's a scramble to get players signed and to get sponsors signed back up again, and you really don't get a chance to do things properly. So, for something as big as a rebrand, we wanted to do it properly, and that's one thing that 18 months did give us to go through the reasoning of it, and then be able to put a story together and do the research as to, you know, why we're doing it and what we wanted to do. So we're really proud of it. We're looking forward for the next 20 years now. And we feel that the brand that we have is fantastic, and we feel this one is also going to be fantastic. Times have changed a little bit for us now. Like we're obviously moving into a new world, and we want to market to new people. The Giants are a mainstream brand now. When we came, we didn't know how long we were going to last for. I think there was the hardcore hockey fans felt that hockey was going to take off in Belfast. But mm-hmm. You know, Belfast is a different city, and different people are coming to Belfast as visitors. And we want to capture that in entire market and really go international.
I think if I can be as bold, Paddy, as to drop my two cents on it, you know, I think that we're fortunate to be sitting here tonight after 18 months of uncertainty with a club to still support, because honestly, at the start of that, we had the discussion, who knew? But not only that, it's incredible to be sitting here after 18 months on the cusp of something brand new with a club and an ownership group who is committed to the long-term future of the club and yes. Committed to bringing it into the new age. You know, for me, it's a home run. I have my affinity with the old badge like everybody else does, but it's long overdue. You know, we know that the work that's gone in behind it has been nothing short of incredible. You know, the research that's been done into North American sports logos, the respect that's been given to the history of the organization. But I guess, Sinead, to bring it back around to a more practical aspect, I mean, you know, you've been there through the entire journey. A logo that is as simple and as clean and crisp and as good as the new one is, it's going to pay dividends in terms of, you know, a digital first age and merchandising. It really is just, it's of its time.
Yeah, I think that's really important, Joel. Like, and also just want to say, like, we've been really careful to look at, and I'm sure as people find out more about this, discover a little bit more, they'll realize we've really tried to pay homage to the history, you know, and that's really important to us, not just in the colors, but in the fact that the new logo does resemble the alternate logo that is an important part of the club's history too. I think when you talk about a digital first age, that was a big consideration for us. You know, when we think about how we communicate with our fans, most of our communications now are in the digital sphere. They're on social media. They're through our website. We have a brand new website that is just so exciting. I can't tell you. And Joel, you know, because you've been helping.
Every spare moment for the past week, but it's been a joy. Yeah.
No, and like, we're so thankful for that. Like, I mean, we really see this as, you know, a step towards us kind of really stepping up our own news gathering, being the first to release our own news to make sure that we are the source that the fans come to. And the simplicity of the logo and of the wordmark, to use the branding term, will really help us to make sure that we can reach new audiences, but communicate with our existing fan base in a way that, you know, gets across all of the important information fast, but like, also that where the logo isn't kind of fighting with the content that we're putting out too. So, you know, everything now on social media needs to be so small. You need to communicate things in a tiny little thumbnail. And that's really what this does. The simplification of the logo means that it should be really recognizable very quickly. And that's what this is about. It's about building upon the strong brand that we have, but looking at the future and thinking about, you know, is this a brand that in the future generations of Belfast Giants fans are going to want to wear, be proud of, and, you know, again, really just looking at that kind of coming of age and that this is really the next generation for the Belfast Giants.
Steve, you know, Belfast, Northern Ireland as it is, can be quite a traditional place and people can be quite set in their ways. How do you predict that the reception is going to be? How have you built that into the whole idea of the rebrand? Do you expect it to be an instant hit?
Well, yeah, we've had a lot of these conversations over the past 18 months. You know, we wanted to make sure that we did capture like the history of the Belfast Giants in it. And you know, we don't want to just kill off the old logo as well. But I think for me, I know Sinead focuses on the digital first approach and focusing on the socials and making sure that we get it down to the right size. You know, the commercial part of the Giants is also important as well. So like, you know, having something that we can get onto baseball caps and onto hoodies and jackets and that look the part that the players are proud to wear and that the fans are proud to wear, it was important as well. And people want to buy, you know, obviously that, you know, we get a lot of cruise ships coming in. Hopefully they'll be coming back again in the near future. And we wanted to capture that fan as well. So that was something that we absolutely took into account. And, you know, are there going to be fans that are unhappy with it? Well, possibly, you know, like in general, people don't like change. And it's a big, big decision for us to make a change to, quite a popular logo. You see, when you go into the arena, there's a lot of teal Giants jerseys being worn in the crowd. But we did feel it was the right time. We're doing it for the right reasons. We want to capture a new audience base as well. You know, we are a family-friendly sport. And I like one of the analogies that Sinead used early days is that we feel like we're almost transitioning from He-Man to Marvel. And if Marvel kind of look and feel, we can, you know, hopefully attract that Marvel audience because it's a big one.
Sorry, just to go as well, is the fact that I know we've had discussions about this as well in the background the last several months and presentations and the likes, and they've been fantastic. And I personally, you know, I've thrown my two cents in the way that Joel has. I really like the logo. I like the way it hits back to what we had before, a logo that I also really, really liked. And I can see the benefits of all of this. But also, we're one of the last teams in the Elite League to actually have this sort of a rebrand. If you look at the Nottingham Panthers, Sheffield Steelers, Coventry Blaze, Cardiff Devils, they've all had a level of rebrand or a level of change to their badge and to their typeface. And Sinead, we're probably one of the last teams to actually undertake this.
Yeah, I mean, I think we actually might be the last team in the league to rebrand. And, you know, I think one of the things, and you know, we've been talking about this a lot when we've been looking at, you know, how we talk about ourselves moving forward. And I don't think we're following the pack in this one, though. You know, the Belfast Giants have always been history makers. They've been game changers. And for us, this is really about raising the game. It's about attracting new people to the sport. It's about bringing ice hockey to a wider audience and to, you know, hopefully bringing our fan base with us, because we really have tried and worked very hard to make sure that we have been sensitive to our past, but we're looking to the future too. And I think, you know, every sports franchise at some point in their history has to look at how they communicate with their fan base, how they reach new audiences, how they grow. And ultimately, we all want the same thing. We want more people to come and enjoy the Belfast Giants. We want more people to understand and develop that same passion for ice hockey. And, you know, that's really what this is rooted in.
This kind of symbolism is important, I think, to players as well as fans. And I mean, you know, the old logo, as much as I have a lot of memories tied to it, and it has its history, and I'll respect it and whatever else. One of my quiet bugbears was always just, it was a little bit too friendly. I think the new looks a bit more ready for business. I'm wondering, thoughts from your side of the house, are you hearing anything from the actual players, both the ones that are returning that were used to the old logo and the new guys that are coming in, about just how slick the new brand looks to play wearing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we did some test drives on the logo with a few of the guys that have been here for a while, and it was all very positive, but it wasn't, the real test was when the jerseys arrived. And, you know, I saw some of the reactions to it, but it's more the ones that you don't see, but like you're hearing from other people how great it is, you know, the reactions that they had when they're not, because they have to say it's good when they're in front of like the people that made the decisions, you know, you know, from people that said that they really love it. Like it, you know, guys want to look good on the ice. They want to look the part. They want to feel proud of the jersey they wear. They want to, when they're walking into the opposing team's building, they just want to look like a team. And the logo we have is great. The gear we have is great for Warrior as well. So we're the guys are super pumped about it.
We're going to wrap it up just with the same question to both of you, I think. And I'll start with you, Sinead. We are just over a week away from returning to the SSE. What are your first experiences on game night, and with everything that's gone on in the last year and everything that's gone on in the last couple of months to get ready for that first game night? How are you doing?
We're bearing up. There's a lot to be done still, but we're really excited. You know, like, I mean, this is what we've all been building towards over this last 18 months. And I think, you know, when we all think back on how difficult this pandemic has been, how much it's taken away from us, how much, you know, everyone has sacrificed, it's these moments that we've missed most. It's the opportunities to come together, to celebrate, to enjoy each other's company, to, you know, just enjoy entertainment, sport, the things that we have missed. And like, I'm personally really excited. I mean, I started this job during the pandemic and I haven't had a chance to actually, you know, be there and experience these things with my colleagues. And, you know, it's, I couldn't be more excited, you know. I can't wait.
And Steve, obviously, you know, we've had this year and a half, you building teams or planning to build teams that were then jettisoned, building teams again, and then everything that's going on. How are you holding up before this return to the Odyssey or SSE ice in just over a week?
Oh, we can't wait. Yeah, like it's been a mad scramble, no doubt about it. The last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of stress behind the scenes, but at the same time, everybody's here. Guys look good, and this is why we're here. This is why I'm here. I know Adam has been itching to get back on the ice and kind of guide that ship. You know, it's the ice hockey that, you know, really drives us. And it's 18 months is a long time, and I think that makes you appreciate things a little bit more when you don't have it. So I think there's a real buzz to like the locker room, and you know, when I speak to the fans, like they're kind of pinching themselves about how excited they are to get back, and I think there's a lot of people that won't take this for granted anymore. And not saying that people did, but like there's going to be a real excitement in the air. I can't wait to get back.
Fantastic. Well, listen, like I say, it's just over a week until that first game against the Dundee Stars at the SSE Arena. It's going to be one exciting night. Guys, the rebrand's fantastic. We look forward to what this season's going to bring. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks very much to Steve and to Sinead for joining us. Guys, the look of the new shirt, the look of the new logo, you know, for us traditionalists who have been around this club for 20 years, as I said in the actual, as we said in the interview there, this is the first rebrand in 20 years. We are probably the last team in the Elite League to do it, but it looks good, Sis.
It looks brilliant, mate. It really does. When we got the opportunity to see it there a few months ago, when they were, you know, still making a few tweaks to it, I think it looks brilliant. I really do. I've been lucky enough to see it up close with regards to the, as Steve was mentioning in the piece there a few minutes ago, you know, the track suits, the, you know, the leisure gear that the Warriors sent through, it looks absolutely brilliant. And then the big new logo on the ice as well looks fantastic. So it's, I think it is long overdue. I think it's something that, you know, we need to bring into 2021. I think it is time that we just made a few subtle changes. Look, we all know it's going to be still, you know, the old logo is still going to be part of the history that we've had and the success that we've had over those 20 years. So it's, you know, it's one of those ones where it's, you know, we're still going to have those jerseys. I mean, Davey's got more than most. You know, he keeps a wee record of them, and we're all still going to have those jerseys about. And I'm sure they're still going to see the logo at the SSA Arena down the years as well. And you never know, it might just appear for a retro jersey down the line at some point.
David, that logo there, the new logo, it does look like that one we had before with a few subtle tweaks, but the typeface, the new look, it. The whole talk about the Giants reborn and a new start and coming out of the pandemic with a new look, it just gives that fresh feel.
I guess there'll be people that'll be for it. There'll be people naturally that will push back against it. I like the when we did the little corporate branding evening that we got invited to, just how much the guy thought about it. The word mark one, for example, the Belfast matches the curve of the Odyssey roof and stuff like that. That kind of appeals to my core, Belfast core. Like, Finn McCool will never die, ever. that original logo will be on jerseys around that arena for as long as we're there. People will be wearing the old jerseys. People will embrace the new as well. I like what Sinead said there about, you know, we've gone from the He-Man generation to the Marvel generation. And we have to appeal to the younger generation and the families, because like it or not, this is a business. And if we want the best players that we can have, because ultimately we want to put banners up across the bridge, and the banners that are on the bridge, I don't know whether they'll rebrand them or whether they'll keep the old logo or whatever, but to hang more banners, we need more money. You need to compete in this level. And we talk about budgets and all, Paddy, and it's the nature of the beast. You know, we need to sell tracksuits. We need to sell jerseys. And a little rebrand, never done anybody ever any harm. It's almost irrelevant. I actually do like, but it's almost irrelevant whether I do or not, because it's something that had to happen, and the pandemic and COVID and all gave us a perfect opportunity to, you know, put a new paint, you know, like a white paint on the arena. The logo actually on the ice looks absolutely brilliant. That's one thing I will say for it. On the jerseys, whatever, it's small, but whenever you go in the arena and we're like, do not take your phone out of your pocket, you're not allowed to take a picture of this, but it looks absolutely phenomenal. It's turned around towards the TV cameras for and looks really, really well. So, look, not dying about the Nottingham Panthers colors in it, but
going to bring that up, mate, about the black and the gold. I thought you were talking about black and gold
to me, but look, I like the logo. It was on the shirts, as you say, a few years ago, and now it's a few subtle tweaks, and it's ready for business.
From says putting your commercial hat on, you know, when we spoke with Sinead there, a marketing, a branding, a change of brand like this, given that, you know, the Belfast Giants logo is recognizable right along Belfast, we've had it for 20 years. Is it going to be difficult to get this new brand out there?
No, definitely not. They've done it well. It looks fantastic. I've showed it obviously since I've taken a role within the organization officially. Now, it's only taken them 17 years to ask me, but
congratulations.
Thanks very much. I've showed it to a couple of people who've got involved with the Giants. Now we've got Edge Coffee on board, which is fantastic. You know, they're going to sponsor the warm-up jerseys this year, and they are over the moon with the way it looks. I know William and Hannah are really pleased to get their brand out there as well. And there's a few new sponsors on board. Northern Ireland Supplements are providing the nutritional aspect of what the boys need to be at the optimal level for preparing for the games and practices as well. So It's there's a couple more new guys coming on board. There's a great, you know, list of companies that have returned and continued with their support as well. And that's the most important part of it. But I really don't think it's going to be hard to sell the new brand, the new logo, the new Belfast Giants, that Giants are reborn. It's definitely not going to be hard to sell for us. Not for me, anyway.
And Davey, what are you going to do about that massive Finn McCool tattoo on your back?
It is a little bit awkward, but I'm like, there's people out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They walk amongst us, you know, and yeah, I don't know. Maybe John Smith will come out of retirement and offer them cover-ups or something. But as I said at the start, you know, the old Finn McCool logo will always be with us. It'll always be a part of us. It's a part of our history. It's a part of the last 20 plus years of our lives. And that, you know, but the very simplistic things of being able to transition it to every kind of medium that you want it to be at, and that just wasn't, it didn't translate as far as that's kind of partially one of the reasons for doing it, you know, and just to rebrand and be more recognizable to a younger generation. Like I'm down with it. I'm down with the kids. And I'm pretty down with Simon there with his advertising. It's absolutely fantastic that the podcast will be doing all sorts of supplements before the start of the podcast here. You know?
We've been doing supplements for years, mate. That's how we get through the show.
I'm sure we'll sort something out down the line, boys. Don't worry about that.
before we go on, let's just go to Pick Science. Has it been fun being involved? You know, you've been involved with the organization for 20 years now, but actually officially, and doing what you do best and going out and selling this product to people. Is that a lot of fun at the minute?
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, it's still tough, you know, try and get new companies, new people involved because of the current pandemic. You know, there's still a lot of people working from home, and you know, it's, you can do all the Teams meetings or the Zoom meetings that you want, sitting face to face with somebody across the table or walking them around the SSA arena makes things an awful lot easier. Yeah, we're doing okay. We're going in the right direction. It's, as I say, it's, if we can entice new companies to come on board and entice their staff and families to come and watch the game, then we're doing a good thing. So it's I feel like we're definitely going in the right direction. You know, I'm there to support Steve with regards to, you know, the commercial aspect of it, and that for the SSE and the Belfast Giants. So it's I feel I'm doing okay. I don't want to boom, you know, I'm always very low key and not modest at all. So I'll just like to keep it that way. We're doing all right.
I was gonna say there, you know, we were talking last week when you very kindly picked me up in Mexico and brought me up. That, you know,
thanks for the video, lad.
They're yes, no problem. always good to give you a video crossing the void, you know. You were saying that you're still talking to some sponsors that have never been to a Belfast Giants game, and bringing them in, and even though it's 20 plus years ago from the Arena Open, there is still a wow factor when you walk in, even when that arena is empty, and you walk in and you see the ice all logoed up and all. So that's what you're talking about. You need to get those people by the hand and get them into that arena.
I was speaking to a potential sponsor last Friday. Again, Zoom meeting. There was five people on the video, and I was the one from the Belfast Giants, and there was four of them. So you know, you're sitting chatting away to them and trying to explain what we're trying to do, what the way we're going about it, and what we've got to offer. And at the end of the meeting, the guy turned around and said, you're obviously a fan. You're very passionate about it. And I said, well, yeah. I said, I think, you know, been a fan from day one, 21 years ago. And he says, it shows, you know, you know what you're selling. You know what you know, you're coming across very well as well. And we've got exactly what you're trying to sell. So that genuinely felt good because it's, you know, when you're selling something, you just need to make sure that you know the product and know the product. I know what we've got to offer. It makes it an awful lot easier when you're winning and it's a good team, but being off the ice for 18 months, you know, you just don't know how it's gonna go for the season. And everybody says you've got a great team on paper. Hockey's not played on paper. But watching the boys and watching at close quarters, you know, the way Adam's putting the team together and the way things are going at the minute, I'm feeling very confident for this year.
Good for you, mate. Did you not correct him? I hope you corrected him because, you know, UTV had it right. It was Simon Kitchen, Belfast Giants superfan.
I think it was at one point, wasn't it? I don't like to blow my own trumpet, mate. You know, give me another. You know, as I say, I'm only there 8 weeks, 8-9 weeks. I've only been in the position 8-9 weeks, but I feel it's going in the right direction. So as long as Steve's and the guys at the SSA Arena are happy, then I'm happy. So everything's good.
Good for you, mate. More power to your elbow, and no doubt you'll succeed in this role.
Right. Can I just stop you there? Because what? I don't know if you've noticed, but I keep on looking up. Now, I'm not afraid of spiders. I've got a spider in the top corner. I mean, it's about a meter. It's actually not even social distancing. It's just over a meter away from me, I think. And right. It's absolutely massive. Now, if it drops down in the middle of, and I all of a sudden kick the iPod onto the floor, you'll know what it's all about. It's sort of just looking down at me. Even its eyes are bigger than mine, for God's sake.
I remember, and O'Neill, Coach Russell will be, TV's new Coach Russell will be watching this, and they'll go, but I remember when I used to go to the Oval on Saturday afternoon, get the Mission Hall bus and get off, and watch Simon Kitchen pulling 6'4" fellas down and knocking the absolute pan out of him, and he's sitting here 25 years later, kicking himself about a wee spider in a corner.
No, I'm actually okay with spiders. I'm all right, but if it drops down while I'm talking to you and looking into this wee camera here, I'll genuinely break it. Like,
well, don't worry, mate. We're about to take a break to hear from Aaron Murphy in just a second, so you'll be able to get it out of the way.
Right.
Because the Elite League is now the Premier Sports Elite Ice Hockey League, following a brand new sponsorship deal with the channel that comes hand in hand with a TV deal that will see 27 regular league and cup games on Premier Sports, including the Challenge Cup final and the playoff final weekend. And who else? I've just mentioned his name. Who else are we going to talk to about this and find out the details but our old mate Aaron Murphy? The best way to introduce this as well is just to ask how you are. You know, it feels like we've all lost like a year and a half of hockey, of life, of just chatting to each other. So first of all, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks. I'm delighted to be, when you reached out and said, will you come on? Of course, the answer is always yes for a view from the bridge. But just to know that we're getting there, right? We're getting back to those moments where we're talking about hockey and not talking about what's on the news and all that stuff that we don't want to talk about the last 18 months. I'll be, with all due respect to anyone who's had a tough time, we've all had a tough time. But I think we can all agree that it's nice to be talking about hockey. Looking forward to a season which certainly looks like it's going to be a tasty one, and I guess I'm okay. How are you?
Mate, surviving, you know. I think, like everybody, we're just really looking forward to the start of this Elite League season, and one which has been built up with what is a fantastic sponsorship deal by Premier Sports on the Elite League. Not just that, but 27 live games, including the Challenge Cup final and the playoff final weekend. You've got a busy year ahead of you.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. And first off, I'll start out by saying, well, kudos to everyone at the Elite League and the people well above me at Premier Sports and the whole network, family of networks in general, because a lot of work was done between EIHL level and management level and above me. And people think it's just easy to come to a deal like this. It's not. And especially coming out of 18 months of a very strange time. So I think first, the tip of the cap to everyone involved with getting it across the line. And as you said there, it was essential to make a splash. The Elite League, every league wants a title sponsor. It made sense. And to correlate that into also 27 live games. And like you said, the Challenge Cup and the whole playoff final weekend, which, you know, are just fantastic events. So we're pretty excited. I'm pretty nervous, though. It feels like a long time since that Challenge Cup. Is it March 8th, 2020?
I know. It's fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic that we're coming back. It just feels like an age since that Sheffield Steelers win it, and the fact that we're everybody's preparing. And we've had the preseason games. I know we at Belfast Giants haven't really seen our team take to the ice in anger as yet, but we'll do so this weekend. But for you, you know, you've kept alive in regards to you've been to Japan with the Olympics. You know, you've been doing everything you can to keep the sport alive when it comes to television.
Look, it was strange last year with the KHL, SHL stuff like that in front of empty buildings. I think every time someone tuned in, they were reminded by the empty buildings that it just wasn't quite right. So to see, hopefully, full stadiums, and I believe there was 8,000 in Sheffield the other night. So hopefully that's the way it's going to be Sunday for our first game. I'm sure it will be. I think it's fantastic. I mean, yeah, I mean, even Tokyo, I mean, it was my fifth Olympic Games and certainly a surreal one, a special one, though, because the people that pulled it off under duress, I mean, it was bubbles, it was strict restrictions. But look, a wonderful experience and worked with some really good people in Tokyo, and an experience that I'll look back fondly on because of the people, because it was certainly a strange time and we all banded together, but really putting the sights towards the Premier Sports Elite League now. And that sounds great to hear that as well, the Premier Sports Elite League. You know, a few years ago when things, you know, you're trying to put things together and you're trying to make it work from both league and broadcaster, I think that maybe we all thought if we could get something like that across the line, that would be the way we could really build something. And you see that in the 3-year deal rather than a 1-year deal, which was a lot of the deals we had to do in the past. So, yeah, trying to keep the sport alive, but I just trying to get the sport back on the airwaves and pretty excited about the first one.
How important do you think it is that a sport like this does have a TV deal like this? Obviously, from your own point of view, working in the media, working, you know, as a commentator and also behind the scenes at Premier Sports trying to push this, you know, from your point of view, you want to be pushing that. But from, let's say, from the fans' perspective and from you as a hockey fan, how important is it to have this great sport of ours on television?
You need exposure, don't you? You need to be with a company that's passionate too. It's one thing to go and get a sponsor that maybe is just wants to be on the logo or whatever. We want hockey to grow, and that I think comes through in the fact that we do GB under 18s in the past, GB under 20, GB women, GB men at world championships. But we were also there when GB were getting relegated, if you remember. So, you know, we haven't come on board for the glory moments. We've been there in building. So much like the GB program, I think it's important to be on TV because of the sponsorship opportunities and the fact that they've got a title sponsor now because it is a TV company. But it's like the old adage, it's easier to get a job if you get a job because you're a desirable candidate, right? So I think this helps the Elite League perhaps use some of the resources to go and find other revenue streams, whether it's, look, an official drink sponsor or rental car company or whatever it is, whatever the people at the board level want to spin at, coming out of a time where there wasn't a lot of revenue. I think it's important to be on TV, but it's also Premier Sports is a lot bigger than it was than it, the first time around when the Elite League was on Premier Sports. The Ultimate Rugby Championship and certainly in the past NHL and stuff like that. When you're on a broadcaster like that and things have gone down the track, it's a much bigger and better broadcaster than, say, it was 7-8 years ago. That's just the growth of the business. And the fact that you couple that with a strong passion and people behind the scenes that really do love hockey. I mean, people think it's, oh, Murph has done this and that. There's a lot of people above me and marketing people and management people and director of operations that really do have an affinity for hockey. And they all, some of them have been up to Belfast. Some of them are Giants fans. Some of them have been on road trips to Cardiff or Glasgow. So I think it's so important to be on TV, but it's also so important for both Premier Sports and the Elite League to show a sign of strength and a sign of growth coming out of what has been a really difficult time. We're not rolling over. No one's going, oh, poor us. It's been a tough time. No one at the league is going, oh, let's just try and get on the ice and do our best to recoup as we go along. We've hit the ground running. Everyone worked hard behind the scenes the last few months. And I think when you show that to the fans and other prospective sponsors, it shows that we mean business. And I think that's very important for the growth of the Elite League over the next 3 years and hopefully beyond.
I think that's a really good point, because I think at the time, once the league was suspended and then we've had this whole wait, and there was a big talk about, you know, how many teams are we going to have when it comes to the start of the new Elite League season? Are we going to lose teams who have struggled financially? Are we going to struggle to have a full league? Not just that, are we starting with a full 10-team league, but we have Premier Sports as a title sponsor. We have a 27-game package with regards to broadcast, and we have what is going to be a fantastic season ahead.
Yeah, and I look at the rosters, and I look at for the Giants, because, look, we're on a Giants show. I'm so impressed that Bess Karawani's back. Mm-hmm. I'm a Murphy fan, Stephen Murphy fan as well, but I'm also a fan of Murphy, the goal scorer. I really think it's shaping up nice. And if you look, I mean, Cardiff had a win in the Champions Hockey League against top opposition. You see Sheffield and Nottingham in exhibition games going hard at it. And all the teams, the rosters look impressive. If you were just transported here and seeing the things, the title sponsorship, the 27 games on TV, all of these really good players signed up for the coming season, you might almost think that we weren't coming out of a pandemic. We're coming out of a position of strength. And again, a tip of the cap that everyone's worked hard, whether it's on the recruitment side of things or getting a deal across the line here in these regards, or, you know, you guys starting up the podcast, all the fan groups coming together and buying tickets for those exhibition games. I mean, 8,000 people at an exhibition game. There's a lot of SHL teams that like to have 8,000 seats yeah. full at a regular season game. So I have so much respect for everything that's gone on the last few months. And I have a lot of empathy for anyone who's had a tough time. I know hockey and what we're doing isn't the be-all, end-all. People have lost jobs. People have lost loved ones. So also we hope that starting this Sunday, we can bring a little bit of joy to anyone who's had a dark time. And certainly we'll be trying to incorporate some new ideas. And, you know, we'll try and be entertaining. And we let the teams on the ice do the talking. But we hope that, you know, for 3 hours a week, we can entertain people that maybe need to have a smile. And certainly I'll be winding up your ex-coach and your Elite League title-winning coach, Paul Ady, on a weekly basis. So, I mean, I think right now smiles and a bit of joy is needed, and I hope we can bring it. And certainly we're really excited. I tell you what, Patty, I don't know if I've been more excited and more nervous in the last 10 years.
You sound it, mate. You sound it. Like you say, you're getting that old band back together and you're going on the road. So give us the details. Where can we see it? How can we see it?
Yeah, we start off September 26th, Sunday. I believe it's a banner-raising ceremony just to maybe pour salt into the wounds of the Cardiff Devils. The Sheffield Steelers are going to celebrate that March 8th, 2020 victory. I still can't believe it's been that long, but they're going to raise a banner. It's going to be a rematch of the last game, the last meaningful game. I mean, I know there's been exhibition games, but the last real game that the Elite League wheeled out, and that was the Premier Sports Challenge Cup, if you remember. So maybe it was a harbinger of things to come down the road. But so September 26th, Sheffield, Cardiff, Paul Ady and myself in the booth, our man Chris Ellis, who we could, you know, you have to have Ellie and Ady on the scene. Chris Ellis is a busy man. He's not going to be available all the time, so we're going to have some surprises. I think one of those surprises may be unveiled this Sunday. And it's Premier Sports 1 and 2, depending on, we've got the Ultimate Rugby Championship. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
That also speaks to how much Premier wanted to be a part of this season hockey-wise, because they've got every game from the Ultimate Rugby Championship, and they still want to get all these live games in. So Premier Sports 2 for the first game, and you can go to premiersports.com. There's a pretty good offer code right now, I believe, EIHL5 for subscribers. Yep. So get on that while it's going. There's also, if you go to Premier Sports on Twitter, I believe it's just at Premier Sports TV, you can win an annual subscription right now. All you need to do is post a picture of you wearing your best teal or whatever. So there's a lot going on right now. You can win a fit for a year. There's an offer code, and we start off with a pretty good one, a rematch of that Challenge Cup final, Sheffield and Cardiff.
Fantastic. At Premier Sports TV, we'll be tweeting that up as well. Get involved. Get watching the Premier Sports on the Premier Sports Elite League. Murph, it's good to see you, mate, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Well, I can't wait to be up there. I will hold you guys accountable. You better be there for the first time I'm there, or you better meet me somewhere for a Giants game, even if it's on the road, because I think we need to do maybe live and on the scene, a view from the bridge with the Premier Sports Elite League. That would sound pretty good.
That'd be fun, mate. Thanks, mate. Live on Premier Sports with a view from the bridge. What do you think, boys?
Do we?
Aye, we can do that. if they want the, if Premier Sports want to come on a view from the bridge, we'll always make time for them. It's not the other way around, remember? We're the big things around here.
big thanks to Aaron Murphy for his time.
By the way,
go on.
Hi, after a pandemic, look at this. Like, we all look older. There's no doubt about it. Sorry, Simon. It's true.
For yourself.
Aaron Murphy looks like 10 years younger than the last time I seen him.
I still wear the same clothes I did when I was in my 20s, mate. That's
the pandemic has been good to him. But hey, yeah, I don't know what your question was going to be there, Paddy. And I know he referenced people up the ladder from him. But no one has worked harder in promoting and trying to get television coverage in the last, 10 plus years. You know, I know we're friends with Aaron and we have the odd drink or whatever and we're right with him, but like, that guy has worked so hard behind the scenes and advocated to like all the organizations that he could, but especially since it became Free Sports and Premier Sports, you know, and that exposure, okay, it's still quite niche that you have to pay for it. It's still a pay-per-view channel, if you like, on top of a Sky subscription, but like, for a fiver a month, can you go wrong? And I think even when it goes up to 15 a month, that's one webcast. You know, if you were buying one webcast for your team, instead of that, you know, you're getting all the highlights and whatever. It's a brilliant deal to have a title sponsor for the league. It gives it a little more gravitas than just the Elite League. And whatever the deal is, it's a better deal than no deal, in my opinion. And, you know, really, really delighted that Aaron has pushed all those doors and eventually won open for him.
Simon?
Yeah, just to reiterate what Davey's just said, you know, it's more than... It's more than 10 years he's been doing this. I mean, he was doing it right when the Dundalk Ice Dome was open in 2006. He was trying to push it from the Irish League point of view. And then when it was NESN, he was working for, and he was trying to get more publicity for the IHL, for European hockey, for Irish hockey as well. So, you know, he's done a great job, and it's brilliant to see. You know, it's, I just think it should have been done a long time ago, and you know, it's eventually being done. So, great for to have a name sponsor on the league, Premier Sports Elite Ice Hockey League. Yeah, he's still there. Yeah, it's great to see.
He didn't even move it during that video.
No, man, no. I mean, he is.
He's going to burn his knife.
I am looking forward to how many times you remember to give the Elite League its full name on the webcast, Premier Sports Elite Ice Hockey League.
We've already been spoken to. Luke Fisher and Mike Hicks give us a talking to last week for all the commentators. So we've got to call it the Premier Sports. That's why I had to look down. I've got it wrote down. Premier Sports Elite Ice Hockey League. And then it's the Premier Sports Challenge Cup and the Premier Sports Playoffs. So, yeah, it's, nice. We'll do our best.
Absolutely. Right, let's move on because we've got a man waiting in the wings who we don't want to keep waiting any longer. With only a few days left until the start of the season, with the Challenge Cup games in Dundee and Fife, we're delighted to be joined by the head coach of your Belfast Giants, Mr. Adam Keefe. How are you, mate?
Not bad, you guys?
Yeah, we're doing well.
Listening to the last bit there of the Murph conversation, so it was, should have been listening to the whole thing.
We've got Sis here trying to deal with a spider. It's it's really...
He's up really our coach. It's massive. It's about that size.
She's that time of the year.
Yeah, Coach, before we get into the details, you know, of all the, you know, the games and the stuff on the ice, obviously the rebranding's taking place, and from your perspective as a head coach and what you have, and you haven't been with, you know, the club so long, you've got the old one there.
Hold on, just explain to him we're not putting this out till Thursday so he can talk about it. It's okay.
It is Thursday. Shh.
Oh, sorry. We're live.
This is live on Thursday. But yeah, obviously with all, you know, what effect does that have, do you think, for you guys? How do you feel about the rebranding of the club, having been with the club so long?
I think initially it's just a change, right? Accepting change. And, you know, obviously we're so used to the iconic Giants logo that any change is, you know, it's tough to accept at first. But I think, you know, if there's ever time for a change, you know, after 18 months off and the pandemic and I think 20 years of the Belfast Giants, I think now is the time to modernize and you know, I think that it's a fresh start for the club. And I think that the people involved are really excited about it. And I think the fans will get on board. And I think, it's exactly that. It's a fresh start for us, you know, coming off 18 months off, and I'm looking forward to it. I think the jerseys look great.
In regards to, you know, the guys, you know, they've been playing all this stuff. So Brandon's been all over the SSE arena.
Yeah, I mean, the guys are all on board. They all enjoy and like the new logo and think it's sharp. And I mean, certainly it's not like our you know, the original Giants logo has died. You know, it's still a big part of the history and the tradition here in Belfast, but it's obviously a fresh start now. And, you know, it's a little bit more modern logo that we're looking forward to donning when we get home here in front of the fans on October 1st.
Well, Coach, let's move it on from logos to actual hockey talk. And, most of the guys, or all the guys, are in now and they're doing really well. Says, as we said, he's been down 2 or 3 weeks now watching the practices, and a lot of the boys looking really sharp. They've came in ready to go, and things are looking up for us already.
I think the Glenn Gormley Wi-Fi is kicked in, is it?
Is that my Wi-Fi? I didn't know you were talking to me there. Sorry, I lost you guys there for about a minute.
Go again, Davey.
What was that question again there, Davey?
The question was, we've spent all this money on logos and bringing players in, and do you not think the club should like get you good Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I do think that should be the next step. I'm not sure why. I'm actually on my dad on my phone, so I can't blame my Wi-Fi.
So anyway, Coach, we were saying the roster's complete. The guys are all in town and they're looking good in training. Simon's been saying he's been down watching them for a few weeks now. Returning guys looking good. Some of the new guys also looking good. Are you excited with what you've built?
Yeah, we are. I mean, obviously, we think we've got a younger, faster team than we previously had. But I mean, until we get going, we don't really know exactly what we have and what type of team we are. We know what team we want to be. But so far, so good. We look the part, and now we want to get in and test ourselves against the opposition. And the guys are raring to go here. I think they're getting pretty tired of practicing, so they're just waiting for those games.
So, Coach, sorry, Simon, I see you about to take breath there, but I'll just follow up on that. We were talking about it earlier there in the recruitment. You've said it yourself, where it's the youngest team, average age, that you've ever recruited. It's the biggest team in terms of size, and it's the leanest team in terms of weight. Was any of those conscious decisions, or is that just coincidence?
Anytime you can get a player with some size that can move and do the things that you want, it's a bonus. But I would say the youth factor, I think we were out to get younger, and I think we have been for the last few years. We've been continuously trying to get younger. It just turns out that this season, we're the youngest we've ever been.
Adam, Sunday night we had an in-house game. You know, you split the boys in half. You played Teal versus White. What did you take from it? What did you get from it?
Obviously got to see the players in a competitive environment where, you know, we asked them to, take it serious and prepare as though it was a real game. Now, that being said, it is tough. You know, nobody really wants to run over their own teammates. So, you know, it's a little bit different than a game day. And obviously they're only playing two lines. So, that was difficult on them. But really for us, we want it to be a conditioning stint. You know, we're not getting any competitive games in before, this weekend. So we wanted to make sure that these guys were getting in some competitive action against each other and pushing each other along. And I think we achieved that. And hopefully that pays off come Saturday.
How exciting is it to come back onto the ice, Coach? You know, we've got these two games against Dundee and Fife. You haven't had a pre-season, as you just mentioned, but, you know, for you as a coach, having waited so long, having started to put a team together last year and had the jettison, putting this team together and getting on the ice, how excited are you to get back out there?
Yeah, I'm very excited, I think, just to get those competitive juices flowing again. I know I had a small taste of it there at the World Championships. But obviously to get back here to our club will be extra special, especially in front of the fans once we are able to do that. But I mean, first and foremost, yeah, going to Scotland and taking on Dundee and Fife and feeling that competitive edge again is going to be a lot of fun.
And what about that return to the SSE in just over a week's time? It's an exciting prospect.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. I think we get a small taste of that, should I say tomorrow, at the fan event. last night. We get a small taste of that last night. And it's, so we're certainly looking forward to October 1st. And I've been saying that since this pandemic began and it started to look like we're going to miss a season. The prospect of not being able to actually do what you love and support what you love, that was daunting. And some one of the things that kind of got us through, I suppose, is looking forward to that first one and how much of a party and celebration it will be. And we're hoping to do our part in that.
Fantastic. Well, Coach, listen, good luck this weekend and your travel over to Scotland at the start of the of a brand new season. I know we're just as excited about seeing this team on the ice and seeing exactly what they can do. So good luck against Dundee in Fife.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have Adam Keefe back on the show. And also, let's say, really exciting prospect to have us back on the ice. And we're going to go straight into another interview now with one of the new faces for the Belfast Giants. Not a new face in Belfast. He has played on this ice before, but it's number 10 for your Belfast Giants. And that is Scott Conway. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for joining us. You know, we've just had your head coach on. How's training been?
It's been great. It's been tough the first couple of weeks. Getting to know the big ice is a bit of a difference, but I think the guys that are coming over from North America have adjusted pretty well, and it's going to be fun to see what we can do out there.
Funny, that's just something that Davey here was mentioning earlier on in the show, is having that sort of adjustment to the big ice pad. You had experience of that a number of years ago here in Belfast, but is it difficult to become adjusted to that bigger ice surface?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of tendencies about guys trying to play on the perimeter a lot, and I think if you want to score a lot of goals, especially on this big ice surface, you gotta go to the net and get traffic in front. So I think I gotta shy away from the tendencies of being a perimeter playing and penetrate the middle of the ice.
What do you do different in practice, Scott, or in preparation to do that kind of thing? Is it a mindset thing, just?
Yeah, I just think funneling pucks as much as you can towards the net. If it's a 2-on-1 or 3-on-2, you want to put pucks towards that net or try to get to the good ice in the middle. Maybe take a cut from the outside to the inside, and it just gives you a lot more options and a lot better look of scoring.
Let's not look too far beyond like this weekend. I know where hockey, you never look beyond one game, but this is an opportunity coming in and playing in front of the GB head coaches as well with the dangle of the card of the World Championships again at the end of the season. Must be something you're perhaps focusing on too.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting just to have Coach Kiefer with us, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, and that's just a little bonus at the end of the year. A little bit of fun playing against all the high-end prospects and players, so that's just a little bonus.
Scott, you started out in Basingstoke. Your dad is a legend all over the UK, more or less. He played in a lot of games back in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, and obviously you've picked up the shooting mentality from him because he knew where the net was. Obviously, he's one of the guys that you've looked up to starting out in your career as well. But how important is the support that you get from him as well?
Yeah, I mean, he was a big impact, especially when I was younger. He would teach me all the habits that how he saw the game and the tendencies that he did. However, the game has changed. The game has got a little faster, a little bit less physical, I feel like, for the most part. So, I mean, it's an adjustment, changing from the eras where he was in to me, but you also look up to the NHL players too. You see what they're doing out there and the moves that they do. So, I mean, it's a little bit of both for sure. And he was a good player, did put up some good numbers, but hopefully we can do the same eventually.
Yeah, well, I was speaking to you when you first arrived. I remember playing against him. I was only a kid, 16, 17, and he absolutely destroyed me. It's one you touched on the NHL guys. What sort of NHL player do you look up to? Who would you compare your game to?
Almost like a Brad Marchand. I'm a little grittier player that likes to get under the skin of other players. But he also has a tendency to shoot the puck and find the back of the net. He also has a little bit of good vision. He can find his players when they're open. So I'm excited to get out there and see what we can do as a team.
Take us back a few years there, Scott, to your previous with Providence and your trip to Belfast. What are your real takeaways from that? What are your really good memories of that?
Belfast is a great city. So I think first and foremost is just visiting this cool place. My mom had a chance to come over here and experience it with me. And we did some cool things like the the little Christmas thing that they have downtown outside of City Hall. That mm-hmm. was kind of unique. I thought that playing in front of one of the games we played in front of a bunch of children, and I thought that was pretty cool. With they all had their little clappers and would clap in the stands, and it was kind of a loud experience for me. So I think that was kind of a fun experience too.
Scott, it all starts this weekend. Just how exciting is it?
Yeah, I think all the boys are raring to go here. A lot of practicing, a lot of waiting, especially for guys that played in this league, couldn't play in this league last year, that played in it for maybe a couple games in that bubble. But so I think a lot of guys are raring to go, and I think we're going to be a pretty good team here.
Scott, you're sharing with your girlfriend, Rupert, and his girlfriend, and you now have the penthouse apartment, or have you been shifted back down to where you were supposed to be?
Yeah, we shifted back down, unfortunately.
disaster.
Your penthouse was nice, yeah?
Yeah. I told the guy that was trying to fix this place up, hey, I gave a couple quid to delay it a little bit longer.
And literally, you've only been here a couple of weeks, but how are you finding Belfast? You find your way around? Obviously, you haven't really been out that much so far anyway, but you're trying to keep yourselves at the minute and obviously prepare for the season, which starts on Friday.
Yeah, just outside of our apartment is a rent-a-bike. So the first day, we all four of us signed up for that, and we've been going around the city just seeing different things. We went down to City Hall. We went inside there, kind of walked around there, the little museum that they have in there. We've been out with the team doing a couple gyms and experiencing the spas that they have and everything they have to offer here. It's definitely a unique city with all the stuff that they got going on down there. So I think it's going to be a fun year, and it's a great place to be a part of.
And obviously, it all starts this weekend. Scott, what's the attitude in the room? How are the guys feeling? How are the guys preparing?
I think someone asked me yesterday about how the guys were gonna do and take it, as if it's a friendly or if it's gonna be a warm up game. So I'm like, no, this is the real deal. We got every game counts here. We wanna obviously learn after this first game that we have and build off of what we need to do better. But we definitely need the win to start and get the win streak going here.
Fantastic. Well, listen, mate, good luck this weekend. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch up with you again later in the season.
Awesome. Thanks for having
Cheers,
me.
Cheers, Collins. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Top guy. You know, it seems to be the attitude is really good there, Sis.
Listen, I've seen the kid in action. He really is going to be a player that you're going to have to look out for. He knows where the net is. He shoots the puck hard. He's been playing with a couple of wingers that he's got either side of him who can move the puck as well. So I reckon, again, I was speaking to Taff about him just before we signed him, actually. We're having a chat with Taff, and Taff's seen him at close quarters for Team GB.
The Olympics.
Yeah, and as I say, you know, he's had the backup there from his dad. His dad was a player. I mean, his dad was unbelievable. I remember him playing with a guy called Tim Salmon. And if you go back and Google Tim Salmon and look at the stats that he had playing in the Air Bruins, and two of them were in Telford together at Billingham. You know, he played in a lot of different towns and different cities all over the UK. They scored points. I think he got 240 points one season. Yeah. Now, I get the league's changed, and you know, it's a bit harder to get points in these times. But the two of them together were absolutely lethal. Tim Salmon was in Youngblood as well. I've got something in the back of my head that he played. He was one of the guys in Youngblood. Remember the start of the movie where he's skating around and round. With the CCM Ultra skates on, you probably wouldn't understand that. But he skates round and round in the barn on his own. I'm pretty sure of something in the back of my head saying that was him. But the two of them are great players. So if he comes anywhere near the level of the goal scoring that his dad had, everybody's going to be very, very happy. And he started off the season. That's, as I say, hopefully we can keep everybody fit right from the very get go and get ready to rock. Because I'm feeling it already, boys.
You have any level of success on SSE Ice, Davey, and hopefully some more.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what he's like in the face-off circle. And also, I know maybe Simon will tell me offline who he's lining up with at the minute to see who's going to be feeding him those bullets. We've always been a really good team with possession of the puck, and that, I know I bang on about it on podcasts over the years, that face-off is so critical in this league. You get that possession of the puck, you know, possession nine-tenths of the law, all that good stuff. This is a goal scorer. This is a shooter of the puck. He's already talked about it there himself, funneling pucks to the net and letting your wingers go after them or hopefully getting them in yourself. So, I don't know. Simon's been watching him in the face-off circle here in training so far. Looking good, Simon?
Yeah, Mace had them on again this morning. After the practice this morning, they were basically doing face-offs. They were doing it yesterday. You know, he was up against Longer this morning and Slater Doggett. So, yeah, they definitely know where it is. And they were up your neck of the woods today, Paddy. They're up in West Belfast at the Better Gym in West Belfast. So, yeah. They're getting themselves about
on those brand new slides in Alistair Town Leisure Centre. Dandy one of those, mate. Dandy one of those.
They've got the deal now with, as I say, I'm just going to be a walking, talking advertising machine. Better Gym, it's got a con winners one up at the West as well. So yeah, all good.
I'm going to reintroduce the bell ding every time there's an advert. Ding. Yeah, so big thanks to Scott and the Adam Keefe for joining us on this week's show. Two quick bits of news. The season's already begun. It started last weekend with back-to-back games for the Guildford Flames against the Coventry Blaze in a home-and-home series. Guildford winning both of those, 7-4 they won in Guildford, and 5-1 they beat the Blaze in Coventry. The season is underway. And also, one of the other points just briefly is that there is a brand new Elite League casebook. For those maybe watching on YouTube, there it is. So then there's a copy of it here. There's a few new rules come in. Says anybody want to what are our new? I haven't had a chance to have a look into it yet and see what the new rules are. Anyone?
Yeah, one of them's about the trapezoid behind the net for the goalies. You know, so
NHL style.
Yeah, they need to basically pay attention to that and make sure they're not playing the puck out of where they're not allowed to, because it's going to create a penalty and create a power play. It's all about keeping the puck moving. As I say, we had a Zoom meeting last week with the commentators from around the Elite League, Luke Fisher from the media side of things, and Mike Hicks were explaining to us, and Hicksy was taking a jab at me, of course, because apparently I'm not shy and saying something on the webcast.
An early season telling off. Sorry, not even season, a pre-season telling off.
Pre-season telling off, but took it all in good jest. And again, we know that we always said, you know, the referees and the linesmen have a very, very tough job. So this year, it's like a new year resolution that I'm not going to have a go at anybody. I'm going to try and bite my lip when it has to. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. Okay, mate. Okay. Give it.
Yeah, I haven't looked through it. The trapezoid, obviously, we were focusing on that we talked about earlier as well. I'll get that printed out. That might be a bit of, that's the kind of thing I read in bed these days. So, get that printed out and have a good read through it and see if there's anything that jumps to my attention.
Credit to the Elite League, sorry, the Premier Sports Elite League, is that, you know, for years and years and years, there was always talk about, you know, the rule book, and what are we running off, and, you know, people, you know, not knowing where to come from. If you go to the Elite League website right now, you can download the EHL game book. This is the case book version one for this season. The last season, which was obviously the 1920 season, there were two versions of this, and they update it and they keep looking at it, and it is worthwhile if you are so inclined to go and get yourself and have a look at it.
Yeah, they were talking about, I think it was 2 years ago, it was 91 pages, so it's been condensed into, again, I'm going to try and 20, print it out.
22.
It's condensed down to 22. So, you know, it literally gives you everything that you need to know. It would be worthwhile for people to watch it. We're going to try and, I was going to say educate some fans when they're watching on the webcast, but, you know, when you're having a drink and you're watching a webcast, education is probably the last thing you've got in your head. But, yeah, look, I think whatever they can do to help the league, that's what it's all about. We've got the, you know, the premier sports elite ice hockey league. You know, it's certainly starting the season off very, very well. And again, I'm you know what? I'm actually not even doing anything on Saturday. So apart from watching the Giants on the webcast from Dundee, I'll probably just keep the Sheffield Cardiff game on the background and watch the premier sports elite ice hockey league first game.
Sorry, Davey, you were going to come in there.
I was going to say, you know, obviously there's a lot of people come to the arena just for a night out and want a beer and they're going for a bit of sports entertainment. Great. Then you've got the people that are a bit more invested in it. Go and read it. Really read up on the rules. You'll enjoy the game so much better when you have a bit more information on, oh, what was that? And you're not shouting stupid stuff. It's really, really worthwhile to learn the rules of the game. If you're getting, if you're starting your journey and supporting the Belfast Giants and you're starting to get into the sport, go learn about it. It's far more interesting.
Mate, I could look at this. I could read this back to front and inside out. It's not going to stop me shouting stupid stuff at games.
No, that's true.
It's not going to stop me. But yes, so there too. One of the last things, of course, on the agenda, and we're not going to just this weekend is the beginning, as we've said many times, of the Premier Sports Challenge Cup. And there's two games for your Belfast Giants. Away to Dundee on Saturday, 7 p.m., Dundee Ice Arena, and you'll get that on Dundee Stars TV if you're not making the trip over. And then just down the road in the Kingdom of Fife, the Fife Flyers against the Belfast Giants on Sunday, 5:30 p.m., Fife Ice Arena. And that's I assume we'll get that on Flyers TV webcast. Davey's favourite part of the show, but just very quickly, you know, it's the Challenge Cup over the last number of years. We haven't had a preseason. Davey, this is our preseason.
It is. From talking to coach, from talking to several players, from talking to Simon at training and a few people down at the arena, you know, you can do all the preparation that you want. And once that first puck's dropped, there's got to be a change of mindset from training, preseason, to game time. And these games are important for us. Not desperately important, because it's quite hard not to qualify the Challenge Cup group if you look historically at it. But a good start is also critical. A good start puts you best foot forward, as Neil Russell would always say. And, you know, you want the you what was it you said? But Paddy, it must be about 10 years ago you said this on the podcast about seeking perfection, but not mediocrity or something, you know.
Don't let perfection be the enemy of excellence.
No, that's not what you said, but you've said it better this time. But you know, you've got to set out to win every single game you play. You set out to win every period, you know, and you know you'll not get there over the season, but you've got to try and seek, you know, that level of intensity, especially. And Kiefer will be looking at players, because there's going to be decisions to be made with different rosters on different nights because of the goaltending situation we'll have, the roster size that you're allowed on any given night. You know, I'm not quite sure how many we've got in the roster there, you know, whether there'll be other bodies coming in, whether there'll be young lads that'll be able to play or not. So, you know, we've got lots of things. Players start to play for their place from Saturday night. And, you know, if you want to be in this roster, you're going to have to hit the ground running.
Simon.
Yeah, again, you know, it can be difficult to get the legs going. You know, on the first night, you know, you can do as much practice as you want, but you're just trying to get your lungs on you and you know, and get your legs moving as quick as possible. You want to get out and take every shift at a time. You know, right now we've got a full squad going into Dundee on Saturday night, and it's never an easy place to go to. We always find it difficult against Dundee. Pash is a good coach. He's got his guys. You know, they played a couple of games. They played against the Flyers twice at the weekend, so. You know, they've had a couple of games and had a bit of chemistry built into it as well. So it's going to be a tough game. I'm expecting a tough game. There's never any easy games in this league anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how the boys adapt to it, because, you know, there's going to be a few of them who've never been on a ferry to go to a game before. We've talked about this before. I've looked at the weather forecast. There's a couple asking, you know, I know there've been a couple asking other guys what it's like, and asking Mace and Stu and what have you. And again, when you've never had that experience before, people react different ways. So it's hopefully they get over early, get the early ferry over, get a good rest on the way up the road, and check in the hotel, maybe get a bit of lunch and get ready to go for Saturday night. Because as I say, every game is absolutely vital. It's not about, you know, waiting to the business end of the season for February, March, and early April. Let's get ready to go now. First trophy's up for grabs. and let's get a good start.
Really good to hear Scott Conway say that earlier on, and that mindset being already drilled in, the fact that every game matters, and most certainly starting this Saturday night, 7 p.m. Dundee Stars away at Dundee Ice Arena and Dundee Stars TV, and Fife Flyers on Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Fife Ice Arena, and of course on Flyers TV with their webcast. And on that, any other business, gentlemen? And unfortunately, I'm going to start with something that I know you guys are you'll back me on this, and we just want to send all our prayers and our best wishes out to young Blake, who says isn't doing very well.
Yeah, his mum posted a Facebook and Instagram post today about it. My battery's about to run out, guys. And you know, the wee man has been struggling over the last couple of days. So all our thoughts are with him, all our prayers are with him, as you say, and hopefully, you know, he can start getting stronger again. He's I was speaking to Laura about it this afternoon after we seen the post, and he's had a tough go at it. And that, you know, there's a lot of our kids around who have had tough goings. Well, young Ethan's, you know, he's finding it difficult and more difficult as days and weeks and years go ahead. But we just hope that everybody's going to be okay. And the wee man, especially wee Blake, you know, hopefully he pulls through okay.
Davey, our fan base, like many fan bases, can have the, you know, lot of love and affection for these kids who are going through tough times, and Blake's no different.
We're very fortunate. From the position that we're in, that we get to see some of the unbelievable kids that come along and the adversity that they face. And again, always, as Joel would say, you know, cap tips or whatever it is, he says, you know, Dolores Moll for what she has done in bringing these kids absolutely into the organization and giving them a focus away from their troubles. And, you know, to see wee Blake there over in Great Ormond Street, his mum posted there earlier, but, you know, he's gone through this emergency operation today, that he was losing blood, and they've managed to stop the bleeding. But he's got a hematoma from the operation last week, and, you know, a bit of damage to his bowel. And they've managed to, they've got him stabilized, they've got him on some drugs, and time and patience and just care. Amazing what those doctors and nurses and families go through. Apart from it being their job, it must be incredibly difficult, incredibly rewarding, and incredibly devastating, probably at times as well. But, you know, we can just keep Blake in our prayers. We keep all these kids in our thoughts. You know, 13 now, Blake, yeah, isn't it? And yeah, it feels like he's been part of our life for so, so long. And we want to hold them close for as long as we possibly can. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the McCaggies, are with the McCaggies at the minute. And, you know, can't imagine what it must be like. We're all parents of young kids. Well, not to see Jasmine going on her first driving lesson, you know, and how fortunate we are that, you know, she's absolutely whole. And it doesn't bear thinking about. Our thoughts are with them, as always, with all the kids that we have anything to do with at the Belfast Giants. And let's just hope he's not too long. He's home from Great Ormond Street, even if it's back in the Royal for a while. But he's back in Northern Ireland where he belongs. He gets the best treatment here as well as he'll get over in England. And I can't say any more than that, mate.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. It's such a tough scenario for the family. But our, like I say, our thoughts, our prayers, and our best wishes go out to all of them. Any other business from you, gents? No. It's an exciting prospect we've got up ahead of us. This is the first podcast of around 30 over the next number of weeks. Strap yourselves in, boys. The circus begins again in just a few days' time. Like I say, those games, Dundee away, 7 p.m. in the Challenge Cup, Dundee Ice Arena and Dundee Stars TV, and Fife away, 5:30 on Sunday, Fife Arena and Flyers TV. You, somebody coming in there or something?
Just something in the head. I heard Murph talk about the Steelers raising their banner for the 2020 Challenge Cup. And with us, I'm just wondering, do we have to raise another two banners for
our two banners?
Our two league titles for, you know, still reigning champions? I'm just,
2020, 2021. Yeah.
Why not?
Sure. Wait until Cardiff turn up, just do it then. the teams together, we're ready to go. It's an exciting prospect, and on that note, And the spider's still there. Big thanks to
the title's going to be NC a ticket, isn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah. A big thanks to for joining us to Adam Keefe, Scott Conway, Steve Thornton, Sinead Doyle, Aaron Murphy, and the spider above Simon's head. You can get us at AVFTV on Twitter, www.kingdomofthegiants.com, and you get us on Facebook and all this sort of stuff, because this has all begun again. We'll be throwing out a few things over the next few days and over the next few weeks to get you more involved in this podcast. As always, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for listening, and we can't wait to be part of this season up ahead. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Kitchen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, gents.
Quick mention, Mr. Neil couldn't be here today because he's at Inver watching Larne against England. Well, do we know how that ended?
I know they were 2-0 up.
Oh damn it, come on.
2-0 up. Larne? Oh, Glenn's must be playing the reserves tonight, brother.
Yeah, Joe couldn't be here. He's busy watching the Inver men and the Harbour Rats playing at Inver Park. And
it's so important it's not even on flash scores.
There we go. We'll leave it at that. Gents, thanks very much. Wherever you are this weekend, it's very pleasing to say we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise. Still you rise.